was deceived by the serpent's cunning. Your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Paul says, I am afraid. In this week, I've been told of two different Bible studies in which people came in talking about living with their boyfriend or girlfriend and talking about God's blessing on their life. And we've been talking about the Word of God. And at the end of everything, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this book is about one thing. It's about whether you spend eternity in a place of glory with the one who made you and loved you and gave his son to die so sin could be forgiven. Or whether you spend the rest of eternity. Not 100 years. I remember when I was 7 years old and my parents weren't very religious. My mother was a pseudo-Christian but was not saved. My father had nothing to do with the church. I thank God that both of them came to a profession of faith in Christ after I was saved. But at that time, they were not saved people. And you know how kids get weird ideas and God, salvation doesn't start when we believe. Salvation starts a long time before that when God begins to put into us seeds that will bring us to the day of salvation. Jesus said that. He said, the wind blows where it wants to blow. This is about everyone who's born again. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. It's not just the minute that the wind tickles your ears. That wind started a long time ago. And I can remember almost 10 years before I got saved, at 7 years of old, being deadly afraid of going to hell. Don't know where it came from other than the Spirit of God. It certainly wasn't from church, because if my mother took me to church, it wasn't a church that told the truth about heaven and hell. But then, in some weird thing, I was terrified, and I didn't talk to anyone, but I became convinced that hell was for 7 years. And after I turned 8, I thought, well, I've lived now 8 years, that's longer than I'll have to be in hell, so I'm okay now. The horrible thing is that hell isn't for 7 years, or 700 years, or 700,000 years. Or 700 million years. And we need to get really serious and zone in because this is serious stuff and people are being deceived. Paul said, I'm afraid that you will be deceived by the serpent's cunning. Your minds will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you, verse 4, and preaches another Jesus. There are other Jesuses and they're preached in churches every week. Or if you receive a different spirit, let me ask you, what is the defining characteristic of the Spirit of God? It's real easy. What's His name? The Holy Spirit. If you receive a spirit that is anything but the spirit of holiness, you've got the wrong thing. It's a counterfeit. Or a different gospel. Now let's be absolutely clear. Here's what the Word of God says. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6 now. You say, wait a minute, you haven't even given us your text. We're going to end with the text today. we're going to introduce that text with what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 6. We've got a lot of young people here. Young people, you're going to make a decision. This world tells you it's okay. You love your boyfriend, you love your girlfriend. It doesn't matter what you do. That's no big deal. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. And you know, the sad fact is the answer to this question today in most of the so-called Church of Jesus Christ is no, I don't. Here's what the Word of God says. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? You know the honest answer that most people in churches today, as by that Bible study that someone was telling me about, where a man sat there and talked about his wickedness and God's blessing, and no one in the Bible study corrected him or said, "Brother, you're not a brother if you don't repent of this." He didn't know. But you had better know, because there's going to come a day when every one of us here will be put in a pine box or a $10,000 steel and velvet and... But they'll put us in something and they'll carry us out and they'll say words over us and we won't be in this life any longer. And on that day, there is one thing that's going to matter. And it isn't, did God give you a big house? Or did God give you a new car? It will be, did you know the difference between heaven and hell? And Paul says, do you not know that wickedness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. And my fear is that some of us right here are being deceived or very soon will be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral. Well, what if you love the person? No exceptions for I love the person. Well, we're going to get married. No exceptions for we're going to get married. Neither the sexually immoral nor idolaters nor adulterers nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders. Well, you know, they're people just like us. Yes, they are. That's the problem. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if that's what you are, a homosexual offender, and the church today can say we're accepting and affirming churches, and go to hell with them. Nor the thieves. Nor greedy. You know how hard it is to not be greedy in America today? Everything's I want, I've got to have, this will make me happy. The Bible says greedy people. Nor drunkards. We sat at the parents' meeting for Clearview Regional High School the end of last month and heard the police officer assigned to Clearview say, we've got a real heroin problem in this school. I won't say it's epidemic, but it is massive. You use any kind of drug, whether it's alcohol, marijuana, cocaine, you put the title on it. You use that as your God to get to where you want to go. You will be going to the place where the devil burns forever. Because it says, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, gossips. people that run other people down to build themselves up, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. You do these things. Hey, so what? I'm sleeping with my boyfriend. God understands. God says, I do not recognize that you will ever inherit my kingdom. And here's the good news. Verse 11 says, and that's what some of you were. God is willing to forgive you. God is willing to wash you. But God is not willing to leave you in it. God's willing to give you a brand new start. God's willing to give you a brand new life. You say, that's just one verse. Okay, turn with me to Ephesians. Turn with me to Ephesians. You say, why are you preaching this way? I'll tell you why I'm preaching this way, because I don't want one person sitting here. You know, if every person outside these walls wants to go to hell, I can't stop them. I can't do anything to stop them. But God forbid that you would sit here even one week and end up in hell and look at me and say, why didn't you tell me the truth? Why did you let me go to hell unwarned? People say, oh, these preachers full of hate. It isn't hate that causes a person to preach like this. It's love. Here's what it says, Ephesians chapter 5. Will you look at this, please? Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 3, Ephesians 5, 3. But among you, believers, you church at Ephesus. Hey, out there, you know, Howard Stern's out there and Hugh Hefner's out there for a little while longer, and one of these days he's going to be in a real fancy box and it's not going to do him a bit of good. But he says, among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. It can't even look like there is sexual immorality. My wife will tell you the trouble I got into in seminary, because she would come down and visit me. We were dating. We were going to get married in January, and we were dating through the fall semester, and she was a nurse and worked every other weekend, and I was at seminary going to school all week, and so we could only get together one weekend out of every 2 weeks. And she would come down, or I would go up to her place and stay at her parents' house, or she'd come down. And when she'd come down, she'd stay in the apartment that I'd gotten for us, and I'd go and sleep in the TV room on the fourth floor of the seminary. And the people came to me and said, you can't sleep there. That's a public room. Nobody's allowed to sleep there. And I said, so what? That's exactly why I'm sleeping there, because I want everyone to know I'm not sleeping in my apartment because my future wife's visiting. Well, you can't do that. Well, then you can throw me out or you can haul me off. But until you do that, that's where I'll be. You say, why did you do that? Because it says there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity. You got a filthy mouth? Do what it takes. Get out a bar of soap and wash it until it stops saying it. Fill your heart with Jesus. If you got garbage coming out of your mouth, you watch what's coming in your ears. You got music that doesn't honor Jesus Christ, you do what I did. You take a Post Mall out back, you put it in a big stack and you go, bang! Because Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you fill your heart with garbage, you hit your hand with a hammer, garbage is going to come out. You fill your heart, your mind, and your ears with the things of Jesus Christ, you hit your thumb with a hammer, and what's going to flow out is Jesus. nor obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking. We live in a society based on coarse joking. From the late night TV to the Howard Sterns, they glorify in going further and further and further. And they can do that because they're hell's child. They're just speaking what their daddy says. But that's improper for us, which is out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Have you come to the place, literally, where you slam your hand, you stub your toe, and what comes out of your mouth is, thank you, God. Somebody says, how can you thank God when you stub your toe? And I'll give you a really good answer to that one. You've got 10 of them. Thank God you only stubbed one or two. Because if you'd stubbed the other eight, you'd really be hurting. Is that what fills your heart? Verse 5. My eyes are getting bad. Verse 5. For of this you can be sure. There's a lot of people that go to church today. There's a lot of people that are sitting in church now, sat in church at an 8:30 service, or will sit in church in a few minutes, that are utterly unsure of this. They have never been warned of this. Their preachers got up and... and has never given them warning of this. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. I am just utterly terrified that there are thousands of people right in this community sitting in church today, not sitting in a bar, not out with the pagan motorcycle gang, trying somehow to find Christ, that are being told, it's okay. Let no one deceive you with empty words. How many people today will hear empty words? For because of such thing, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Let me ask you, do you really want to be a subject of God's wrath? Do you want God to turn His attention to you in the fullness of His wrath and pour it out on you? Is that your desire? If the answer is no, then He says, don't let yourself be deceived. Don't let Preacher Mike or Preacher Tim or Preacher Betty get up there and say, and everything work out wonderful right up till the day you die, and then it's all over. You say, all right, that's only two verses. Let me show you a couple more. We got to deal with it. Revelation chapter 21. Oh, I love Revelation chapter 21. That's the good stuff. Revelation 21:1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Let me tell you something. I'm just waiting for that new heaven and new earth. I ain't satisfied with this one. This one is not the goal. This one just doesn't cut it. This one just doesn't have what it takes. But the Bible says there's coming a new one, and there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And here's what it says. You say, but that sounds hard. Do you know how much I love my boyfriend? Do you know how much how good that drug makes me feel? Do you know how nice it is to have lots of toys to play with? Yes, I do. But here's what it says, verse 7, Revelation 21:7. He who overcomes, not he who mires in the filth, not he who lives like the godless live, not he who does whatever he pleases, he who overcomes will inherit all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. Well, we're all the children of God. No, we aren't. God just said it right there. He said, you want to be a child of God? You've got to be an overcomer. But the cowardly. Oh, I wouldn't follow. I can't live for Jesus because my friends laugh at me. Coward. I can't tell the people in my life I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. You want to live that way? Do it without me. Do you know what my boyfriend, my girlfriend would say? You know what my kids would say if I said, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Coward. Too afraid to stand up for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you deny me in front of men, I will deny you in front of my Father and his holy angels. And so he says, but the cowardly, the unbelieving. Well, I just didn't believe that God really meant it when he said. Do you know how many people I have say to me on a regular basis, well, I know the Bible says, but. You know what they're saying? I don't believe God meant what he said. I believe God's a liar. And he says, but the unbelieving, the vile. We have become so vile in this country, we don't even know what vile is anymore. We talk about as though it was normal things that would have made a drunken sailor blush 50 years ago. The murderers. The sexually immoral. Those who practice magic art. Oh, it's just Harry Potter. The idolaters. I remember when I was growing up, anyone that went to a Ouija board person or a crystal ball person was a joke. Now they have them on every corner. Magic arts. Idolaters. Oh, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have any little gold things in our house. But let me ask you, if you don't have any idols of gold, do you have idols of the heart? And all liars. I'm warning you. This isn't me. This isn't, oh, he was just on a tear this morning, always. This is the Word of God. This is what Jesus said. Will have their place in the late fiery lake of burning sulfur. And let me assure you of one thing, the one thing that I want to make sure of. You know, in the end, if you have a successful life or if you have an unsuccessful life in this life, that's not going to be a major thing. You had a big house or a small house. Christians used to see the reality of that. They used to sing songs that said, I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver, a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a mansion that's silver lined. Just build my mansion next door to Jesus. Let me tell you, it will not matter whether you were a success or failure in this life. It will matter. The one thing, the only thing that will matter on the most important day of your life, which is the day you die, the one thing that's going to matter is, am I in that lake of fire or am I in the glory of heaven? And I guarantee you, I saw Hugh Hefner on an interview a while ago, a couple months ago, a weazened little old man. He will not celebrate his good life the day he dies unless he comes to repentance. And even then, he won't celebrate it. He will weep over the life he's led. He won't be saying, hey, Playboy bunnies. And a lot of them will be there in hell with him. And he will find no pleasure in that at all. All liars will find their place in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Let me switch gears just a little bit. You say, well, that's not me. I'm not sexually immoral. I'm not a drug user. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not an adulterer. Boy, I'm pretty good. Will you go with me to Hebrews? Chapter 10. Let me shift gears just a little bit and stop talking about sins of the flesh and start talking about a little sins of the spirit. Look at Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Who are you spurring on towards love and good deeds today? You say, well, I'm not doing any of those bad things. How about the good things? Who are you personally spurring on towards love and good deeds? Who are you running the Christian race with the kind of speed and the kind of dedication that your life and what you say and when you're around people spurs them on? Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Have you given up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing? Or maybe you never even started. Well, you say, I come to church on Sunday morning. That's not what the early church did. There was a time when you used to love the Bible study. Or maybe there was a time when you never loved the Bible study. There was a time when you couldn't wait for prayer meeting time. When your attitude was, I hope it goes late today. I hope God comes down. We don't get done till 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. I just want to be soaking in Jesus. That doesn't fill your heart anymore. He says, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now you say, what's that got to do with this? Look at the very next verse. Context, context, context in the Word of God. Look at the very next verse. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and raging fire which will consume the enemies of God. Let me ask you, do you see a big bright line in your Bible? A huge cutoff between verses 24 and 25 and 26? There isn't one in mine. You see, when we stop going all out for Christ, God says, wait a minute, that's a serious thing in my eyes. You say, well, that's just one verse, all right? Let's go over to Revelation. Verse, everybody here, if you've been here any amount of time, ought to know. But let's look at it again, and let's look at it with fresh eyes. And let me ask you a question. Was there a time when you were more rabidly in love with Jesus than today? Was there a time when you loved God's people more than you do today? Was there a time when you couldn't get enough, but that isn't today? Was there a time when you woke up in the morning and said, oh, good morning, Lord. And now you wake up in the morning and go, oh, Lord, morning. Here's what it says, Revelation 2:4. Yet I hold something against you. You have forsaken your first love. And you know, I was sharing with someone this week, and I said, you know, the tragedy is I have a hard time sharing this verse. It used to be, if we went back 50, 60, 100 years ago, the church was in love with Jesus Christ. When I came to Christ in the 1970s, there was at least a good part of the church that had still a real first love for Christ. And then as time went on and that love waned down, there was at least people who remembered that they used to have a first love for Christ. Today we live in a church where the average person sitting in the pew doesn't even know what a first love for Christ is. But let me ask you, do you remember a time when you would have done anything for Jesus? When 6, 7, 8 nights a week was just way too little to be together in the Word of God? When you couldn't get enough of it. I do. Do you? If you don't, then you never had a first love. And you're in even deeper trouble. If you can't say, "Oh, I remember when I first came to Christ. Wow, I just wanted to know everything. I heard my first Christian song. I said, man, there's music about Jesus." And you dumped everything that wasn't that. And went out. And when I was first saved back in the 70s, you didn't go to a Bible bookstore and buy Christian music. You just had to go to concerts and they'd have tables up there. And that's the only way you could get it. They didn't have CBD and all these things that you've got today. I remember I went to my first concert and I'd saved up money for one album, you know, those big black CDs about this big around. And I had this old, it didn't have a crank on it, but it looked like it oughta. And it had one little tinny speaker, you know, surround sound. This was goat sound. Bah, bah, it sounded like a goat bleeding. But I commandeered the record player and I put it in my room and I sat there and they had needles in those days. And I mean, I wore that. That record started this thick and about 3 weeks later it was about this thick. You ever loved Jesus like that? Somebody turned to me the other day and said, because I was singing as I normally do when once in a while, somebody will pick a hymn that I don't know well, but they were going, why weren't you using the hymnal? Because, you know, when I got saved, I fell in love with Jesus, and I just memorized the hymns. How'd you do that? That's so hard. No, you just sing them 10,000 times, and, you know, you remember them. Why would you sing them 10,000 times? Couldn't explain it to you if I wanted to. If that's what's in your heart, don't have something to give you. But if you don't say, I remember the time when amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You never had a first love. And you better pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and seek God, and you better be out among God's people praying, and you better be at the prayer meeting and whatever it takes until you develop first love. Whatever it takes, you better go after it. Because Jesus says, you have forsaken your first love. Let me ask you, was there a day when you were more in love with Jesus, more in love with God's people, more in love with the Word, more in love with prayer, more in love than you are today? Or if you've looked around you and if you've seen there are other people that are more in love than you are. What's the very next words? Remember the height from which you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. Do you want Jesus to remove your lampstand? Do you want to not even be a part of the church anymore? That's what he said. That's serious business. You say, well, you know, you can't be in love with Jesus like that all the time. I don't know. But I do know you can seek it every hour of every day. You may go through a spiritual winter, but in that spiritual winter, you can light a fire and say, it may be winter, but I'm going to stay warm. And because the love of many will, because iniquity shall increase, the love of many will grow cold. You can say, yep, everybody else is growing cold, but I'm going to get a spiritual parka and I'm going to stay warm. But if not, I'll come and remove your lampstand. I haven't told you any Baptist, any Tom, any Jenkins, any personal bugaboos. I've told you five things straight out, five passages straight out of the Word of God that say there's serious danger here to people. Are you one of them? I love what Pastor Phil said one time after we'd been talking about the Lord for quite a while. He said, you know, a lot of people worry about can you get saved and lose it, or if you lose it, were you never saved? And they argue over this theology. He said, you know, I've got the Phil theology of that. He said, if you tailgate Jesus, you'll never get lost. Let me ask you, are you tailgating Jesus today? Is your heart soft before Him? Do you long to hear from the Lord? Or when the Lord speaks, do you shut your ears and say, no, don't want to hear? Paul said, I'm deadly afraid. And I'm afraid that there may be someone here will say, this doesn't apply to me. Don't have to worry about this. Because here's, and I said we'd get there, we're going to end with this, and then we're going to have a time. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, somebody said, you know, we preach for 10 minutes. Well, I've just preached, I don't know, for 40 or 50. And this was all the introduction. This isn't even the sermon. This is just the introduction. Because here's what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the Spirit of the world. If you still have the spirit of the world, you are not of Christ. He says, we have not received the spirit of the world. But the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak. Not in words taught us by human wisdom. You know, the stuff I've been talking about just doesn't make sense to people today. What does it matter who I sleep with? You think God has nothing better to worry about than that? Well, He says He doesn't. What does it matter if I want to have fun and do a little drugs and it makes me feel better to smoke a little weed or drink a little drink? Hey, it gets me through the day and it makes me feel better. Why would God care? God says, I care. And I've prepared a place for people that want to do that where there won't be any weed, there won't be any booze, there won't be any coke, there won't be any snort, there won't be any blow, there won't be any H to minimize the pain of that lake of fire. What does it matter if I don't love Jesus the way I used to? What does it matter if I don't think it's important to get together with God's people and identify myself? What does it matter? This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. The world says, sure, that stuff's irrelevant. But in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. Verse 14, and this is what I want to hammer in today, and we're going to look at this passage again next week and finish out this series. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. If this message, even in this much, applied to you, and you're shuffling it off and saying, nope, not me, then you have just identified yourself as the man without the Spirit. Because the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. I talked with someone today and this week, and they were talking about a relative of theirs that used to be on fire, but now they're living in an immoral thing. But I think they're still a Christian, because it's foolish to think that someone would start with Christ and then go off and that would be the end for them. But if they don't repent, it is, because Jesus didn't say whoever starts the Christian life in faith. Jesus said whoever what? Endures to the end will be saved. Matthew 24:13. It's foolish. And he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Let me ask you, do you have spiritual discernment today? Do you see the truth, or are you going, what was he prattling on about? Let me ask you, do any of those warnings apply to you today? The sins of the body or the sins of the spirit? Have you deluded yourself that God will understand, or God will tolerate, or God will let this go? And done what the Bible said, do not deceive yourself? Have you convinced yourself, well, you know, I know he's always talking about that first love of Jesus, but come on, it's just not that essential. I go to church, I live a good life, I read my Bible every day, that's all God expects. Don't be deceived. God says, remember the height. If you won't repent, I'll come and I'll take away your part in the church. Your candlestick will be gone from the candlestick of the church of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, is the Holy Spirit convicting you today that I've got to change? Or are you filing this away? That was a good warning, and I'll think about that. I'm not asking you to think about it. I'm asking you to do what Jesus Christ said, to repent. And to repent right this minute. And I'm going to open up the pews in the front, and I'm going to ask you, will you have the courage? The Bible says the cowardly will be in the lake of fire. Will you have the courage to repent of your sin? If you were in any way listed in any of those things that we talked about today, maybe you were going through the list and you were going, oh, whew, huh, that's not me. And all of a sudden one of them hit and you go, and you were real glad when we went on to the next one, because you said, oh, good, I can do that. But that one hit, I'm telling you today, you need to repent. You need to come forward. You say, well, I'll do it at home later. You need to do it right now here in public. You say, why? Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father. There's something about making a public statement. That doesn't mean we're going to come up here and interview and what sin did you come forward? No, that's between you and God. But you need to make sure you're right. Because the worst thing that could happen, I will not be a pastor. I don't care if this church goes down to 3 people and I'm not one of them. I'm not going to be a pastor that lets you go to hell without adequate warning. You need to get right with Jesus Christ today. You say, but mine's such a small thing. It's not sexual immorality. It's just, you know, I'm not really in love with Jesus. Well, it's not even that. I'm just, you know, I'm going through a phase. No, you're not. You've lost your first love. Call sin, sin, righteousness, righteousness. Admit the truth, confess it, repent, and get forgiveness. I'm going to open this altar and I'm going to say, will you come forward? And will you get on your face before God and will you say, God, I need to get right? No big thing. This isn't about trickery. The choir will sing 372 verses of Just As I Am till you are so bone weary you go forward just to leave. Has God spoken to you? Do you need to get right with Him today? I want you to come up to this altar right now and get on your knees before God and do business with heaven. Will you do that? Who needs to do that today? Not gonna drag it out. This isn't emotional manipulation. If God's spoken to you, don't put Him off. Today's the day. Will you find Him today? For those of you who are in front, I just want you to just zero in with Jesus. Don't let anything else, you just focus on Jesus and you get right with Him. Don't worry about leaving quickly. Don't worry about being in the way. Don't worry about someone else having something to do. You focus on Jesus Christ and Him only. For the rest of us, I'm going to have a prayer and then you can go to Sunday school or you can go to what you need to do. Let's bow together. Lord, Your word is sometimes so stern and we look at it and we go, oh, I'd just rather believe those happy thoughts that Preacher Mike down the road says. Those happy little thoughts that, Lord, You have given us full warning that this life is not about this life. This life is about eternity. And it is so easy for sinful people like us to get off the path, to miss the path, to lose the path. You said there is a narrow gate and a narrow way. And Lord, I pray that You would not let any person leave here today that isn't fully convicted in their heart of where they stand with You. So that those who go forth saying, I thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life, can rejoice in the work of Your grace, and those who need repentance can come and find a rejoicing in Your forgiveness. Lord, prick our hearts deeply, prick our hearts fully, prick our hearts without exception, so that we don't miss the glory of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. For those of you who are not seeking the Lord here, you are dismissed. We won't have a closing hymn today. For those of you who are, don't be pressured. Don't get up. Don't move till you've really gotten right with Jesus.